Two new books out this summer make thrillers out of environmental issues. Joseph Haywood's book is called Ice Hunter and raises the possibility that a wild tract of parkland might be destroyed if state leaders come down on the side of business instead of the environment, in this case the possibility of diamond mining in a wild part of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The main character is a tough guy named Grady Service, who is a conservation officer. Author Joseph Haywood calls him a woods cop.
A woods cop is slang for a conservation officer. You also sometimes hear them called fish cops and other derogatory comments. Woods cop is not derogatory, but simply indicates what their beat is, which is the forest and streams of a particular area.
Describe your woods cop.
My woods cop is probably overly focused, highly skilled, top tracker, proven investigator. Has made a name for himself by serving in the line of duty. He's been wounded a number of times. He's a Vietnam veteran. He has a little bit of a problem with authority and tends to be a little bit of a loan shark in how he operates.
Now, you set the book in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in a place called the Mosquito Tract. Is that a place?
It is a place. It's a fairly large piece of territory, about 7 or 8 thousand acres. Very wild, home to all sorts of wildlife, very difficult to penetrate, and has a very nice trout river called the Mosquito River that runs through it. And beautiful, isolated, and remote.
You created a character in Grady Service who thinks that this particular piece of wild land is his. And there are a number of places in the book where you sort of celebrate how wild this part of the country can be, even though it's just a few hours from Detroit. And one of them is a description of a fishing camp where Grady Service goes out with an old friend of his who is a man who is very familiar with the Upper Peninsula and who hunts it. You want to read that for us?
I'd be happy to. They walked for 20 minutes until they got to an area of steep ridges covered with pungent firs and mixed hardwoods. It was growing dark fast. Nightwings darted from the light sky into the shadows, hunting mosquitoes. "Where's Gus?" Service asked. "Quiet," Shark whispered almost inaudibly. "Geez, oh Pete, for crying out loud, we're in the bloody bush, eh?" Service shut up. The woods were Shark's church and his god was nature. You didn't talk in Shark's church. There was an open, grassy area below, a nearly full moon rising in a pink-orange sky. The two men sat in fading light and silence. After an hour, Shark tapped Grady's shoulder, leaned over, and mouthed, "Soon." Then, grinning, he grabbed Service's arm and pointed down. A dark shadow loped into the open area below and was followed by four lighter colors that danced and pranced and rolled and circled in tight coils. The larger animal carried its tail out straight, not down. Not a coyote, Service's heart raced. Shark poked his arm hard. "Geez," he whispered huskily, "isn't that something?" A female wolf and her four pups played below them. When she sat and howled, her pups yipped and tried to copy her. Service felt a chill. These were the first gray wolves he had ever seen in the wild, and they left him speechless. It was a glorious and beautiful moment, witnessing something few human beings ever saw, especially in this state.
Now, there's plenty of murder and mayhem in this book, plus a generous helping of people shedding their clothes in the great outdoors, despite the black flies and the mosquitoes that you describe at some length. But the plot of the book revolves around land use issues. Do you think that that's something people are really interested in?
Yeah, yes, I do. I think, at least in this state, that people are very, very interested in it. And the reason I picked the diamond mining as a sort of a central theme in this was because if we ever found something like diamonds in a place like the sort of the wildernesses of Michigan, what would be the effect on the resources? We've already seen that in what happened with oil discoveries down here in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. And I sort of looked at what the possibilities might be if we found something like diamonds, thinking about what happened with the 49ers in California and all of that.
Well, Joseph Haywood, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Linda. It's been a pleasure.
Also dealing with land use issues is a book called Open Season. It's C.J. Box's first novel, and it's set in Wyoming in fictitious 12 Sleep County within sight of the Bighorn Mountains. This time, the woods cop is a game warden, and the issue is what happens to the way land is used if an endangered species is found there. In this case, a little creature called a Miller's weasel, thought to have died out with the buffalo, may be alive in Game Warden Joe Pickett's piece of Wyoming.
Was it possible that a few of the species still existed? It was possible, Joe thought. If a colony of Miller's weasels was discovered, the news would hit the scientific and environmental community within hours via the internet. It would sock the already fading town of Saddle String, Wyoming, with a punch Joe wasn't sure it could recover from. Federal employees from various agencies, journalists, biologists, and environmentalists from all over the world would come, all dragging their own distinct and separate political agendas along with them. The ranchers, loggers, outfitters, guides, and residents of Saddle String would be no match.
C.J. Box, reading from his book, I ask him why he built his plot around the Endangered Species Act.
That's a big issue in this part of the country, where environmentalism, where endangered species issues take place. And the idea is, you know, how do those big issues affect real people on the ground?
So maybe you could just sort of tell us, set it up for us, how the Endangered Species Act comes into your novel.
What happens is that Joe Pickett finds a murdered outfitter literally in his backyard in the woodpile, and the outfitter has shown up with a cooler probably to deliver to Joe. And although it appears that the mystery is solved, he digs a little deeper and finds out that there's a real possibility that a creature thought extinct was being delivered to him, and if so, that would affect the economy and the livelihood of the community in the valley.
Tell me about what you had in mind when you created this character, Joe.
Well, in a way, Joe is kind of a throwback. He's a guy who tries to do the right thing when most of the people around him and most of the issues around him are making, you know, easier choices available. And I wanted to have somebody with a family who works hard for his family and tries to just do the right thing in a kind of a traditional way when things are going kind of wild around him.
One of the most interesting things about Joe is that Joe has a kind of a streak of ineptitude about him. I mean, he's always getting himself into messes pretty much of his own devising.
That's true. He calls them, and his wife calls them, his bonehead moves, such as arresting the governor of Wyoming for fishing without a license because he didn't recognize him. Not that he wouldn't have arrested him anyway, but yeah, he tends to make some mistakes and make some blunders, but he still keeps trying to do the right thing and go forward.
C.J. Box, thanks very much.
Thank you, Linda.
C.J. Box, his book is called Open Season. We also spoke to Joseph Haywood, the author of Ice Hunter.